What does Trump do? Amen. Amen. All right, I got to get started. Amen. Lori, okay, it's good. All right, I love you. I love you. My wife, introduce our friend, Mrs. Froelke. Lori Vanderhood. And how long have you been Jim and Mary now? About a year and a half. I was involved in their wedding. Married Jim Vanderhood, a great guy, and Lori, and they're members, of course, naturally First Baptist Church, part of our little clan. I know Brother Collins loves me, and he really does. He told me that, right, Brother Collins? But you know what? We kid around and we talk around, and my wife has talked about this. Brother Collins, in this college, a very gifted individual, and the awesome responsibility and the real asset that he is at this college is unbelievable. It really is. And sometimes we take him for granted, but all the things that he does, he's very confident. He's very, just everything he does is first class. And I just wanted to tell you that, but I mean that sincerely. Let's give him a big hand. Really good. But anyway, I want to talk to you about something today. Listen to me now. I want to talk. You know, I'll enjoy having a lot of. What are you laughing at? Listen to me. Every year, my wife and I, I've been here 8 years. My wife and I go to a marriage retreat. Okay, and the reason that we go to a marriage retreat is because of maintenance. Brother Pastor Wilkerson talks about marriage retreat. I don't know how many we had last year. Good night. How many couples? 250 some couples that went to the marriage retreat. And I know most of you are not married, but I want going somewhere with this, okay? And so the marriage retreat is important. It's a maintenance thing. In other words, it's like to a preventive type thing on marriages. And so we've gone 8 years in a row since we've been here, and I've enjoyed all eight of them. It's expensive, but it's worth the investment, trust me. And couples that just got married recently, they were there last year. But it's a great investment because of how important marriage is. You know, marriage was not a man's idea, it was God's idea. And it's important. And my wife and I, we've been married now 56 years. I think Brother Colleen has got 57 or 58 years of marriage. But we need maintenance. We need maintenance. We need press that reset button, okay? Now, to get to that area and to get to those years of marriage, there's a lot of things have to be done, and it begins right here with you and your life and what you're going to do. I want to be serious in this message, and I know I kid around a lot, and I really enjoy life, and I love my class, the two classes that I have, and I just want to know, I'm going to get hokey here, I sometimes get a little emotional, but I love this school, and my wife and I love you. Every day of my life, 7 days a week, I pray for my class and their pictures. I told them this morning that I don't want to see them fail. I want to see them have the right spouse, the right marriage, the right person to date, and how important that is. And so my wife has a set like this. I have a set like this. And so every day, I pray for you. And I pray for my class. I love my class. And but these students are important to me, and you're all important to me, very important to me. And so this morning, I want to speak on the subject of this message, avoid what you cannot resist. Avoid what you cannot resist. If you listen to this truth today, it could save you a lot of heartache in your young life. If you listen to me today, okay? Everything's from the Word of God. And it's important. So I want to take your Bibles. First of all, let's all stand and take our Bibles. I thought I was in London. Proverbs chapter number 4, Okay, Proverbs, you got to listen intently, please. And I need time, and I don't want to go over. Brother Mitchell will fire me. And I'm thankful for Brother Mitchell and his versatility and his just a sweet man. And I really love him and his family. Brother King, no, I love you. I love you, Brother King.
I love you too.
Proverbs chapter 4. Now, listen to me. Okay, go over to 4. Here's what's happening here. Solomon is writing here, and of course he says in verse 1, Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 1, are we all there? Say amen.
Amen.
He says, "Hear ye children, the instruction of a father, attended to no understanding." Okay, so he's talking about his dad, who of course is David. He says, "I give unto you," verse 2, "for I give you a good doctrine, forsake ye not the law. For I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother." Now, what did he teach him? Now, for the sake of time, let's look at verse number 5. There's a whole list of things, but let's look at verse number 5. "Get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not, neither decline from the words of thy mouth." Let's go down to verse 14. He said, "Enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not in the way of evil men." Verse 15. "Avoid it." Ah, that's what I want to talk to you today about. Avoid what you cannot resist. What did Solomon say here in verse number 15? "Avoid it, pass not by it, turn from it, and pass away." Now I want you to take your Bibles and let's go to Genesis chapter number 39. Genesis chapter 39. It's a familiar story. A familiar story about Joseph. A great man. You find basically hardly any fault about Joseph or Daniel in the Bible. But we're going to look at this story here. We realize who Joseph was, just for a second. Joseph, of course, his father was Jacob. He had 12 sons. Joseph was one of the sons, okay? Joseph was a dreamer. He had a dream, and then he dreamed, and he said, you know, to his brothers. And the sad part about it is, as it starts out there, the Bible says that Jacob loved Joseph more than his other brothers, and of course, that's going to cause jealousy, and it's going to cause hatred, or whatever the case may be, just a bad situation. But then, of course, Joseph went ahead and said, you know, God gave me these dreams, and they did come from God. And of course, we see the sovereignty of God in this whole thing here. But in doing so, he said to his brothers, you know, someday you're going to bow down to me. Well, men, when they heard that, I mean, they got infuriated, and they said, you know what? Let's do away with this kid, man. Let's get it away. And of course, they wanted to kill him at first. And then Reuben stepped in and said, no. We're not going to do it. We'll strip him of his coat. We'll dip it in blood, take it back to Jacob, think that he has died and whatever. And you know the story. It's pretty elementary. And so that's what it was. And, of course, the Ishmaelites came along. And then eventually he ended up in Potiphar's house and taking care of Potiphar's house, Joseph. Okay? So this whole story unfolds here. Now let's go to Genesis chapter 39. And you realize, as in the first few verses here in Genesis 39, that Joseph, or the Lord, was with Joseph. Remember that. The Lord was with Joseph. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, we sure do love you today, Lord. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for an opportunity and a privilege to preach at the chapel behind this pulpit at Hiles Anderson College, Lord. I thank God for this place. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Keep your Bibles there in Genesis chapter 39. And let's go down to verse 7. Everything was going good for Joseph. God had prospered him, going well for him. And he had a great position. He had a great position in Potiphar's house, in charge of the house. And of course, Potiphar was married. He was married. He was married, naturally, to an Egyptian woman. Back in those days, And these are things that I have found out through digging a little bit. But back in those days, the Egyptian women were very loose women, very loose, immoral. A lot of immorality in Egypt, very loose women, okay? And, of course, the Bible says here in Genesis 39 and verse number 7, "And it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph, and she said, lie with me." Okay, she said this to Joseph, okay? So things are going well in his life, okay? Things are prospering as God prospers him, okay? She said, and she had her eyes on Joseph. And the Bible says that he refused. Praise God. He refused. He said in the Bible, he says, "Great, I cannot do this, this great wickedness against God." And at that point, the Holy Spirit convicted him. You listening to me? Spirit of God convicted him. I can't do this great thing against my God who has prospered me. I can't do this wicked thing. Now, I want you to go a little bit further here and go down to verse 10. Are we all there? Say amen. "And it came to pass as they spake to Joseph day by day." Now, you notice how often now, day by day, she spake to him, "that he hearkened not unto her to lie by her and to be with her. And it came to pass about this time that Joseph went into the house to do business, and there was none of the men of the house therein." Is that a good position to be in or a bad position? A bad position to be in. Very bad position to be in, okay? We find out how bad it is because what happened is that she cried. He fled. Praise God for that, all right? But when Potiphar came home, his wife said, he raped me. Let me ask you a question. Who did Potiphar believe? Did he believe Joseph or did he believe his wife? Was Joseph innocent? Yes, but Joseph ended up what? Spending 2 years behind bars as an innocent man. Are you listening to me? What's the title of my message? Avoid what you cannot resist. Avoid it. My contention is this. Are you listening to me? Here's my contention about it. I contend that Joseph resisted when he should have avoided. Avoid what you cannot resist. When you resist something, look at me. When you resist something, you're that close to doing it. When you avoid something, you don't have to worry about it. You don't have to worry about it. You have to think about it, Brother Mitchell. When you avoid it, we'd save a lot of heartache of pastors and youth pastors, students and colleges, if we just avoid. Avoid. I want you to know, you as a Christian, man or woman, you have a target on your back. There's no question about it. You got a target on your back. The devil doesn't want you to succeed. He doesn't care about the rest of the world, but he wants to get you. He wants to get you into a position of immorality. I love what Pastor Wilkerson said when he first came here. Probably the, in my personal opinion, the greatest quote that he has made. And he's made a lot of them. But in my personal opinion, the greatest one is this. Sin complicates life. Hello. Sin complicates life. We don't have to go through the pews very far in my own life or my family or whatever. I know that sin complicates life. Whether it be your sister, your brother, your mother, your father, your aunt, or your uncle, sin complicates life. You work on a bus route. I worked on a bus route. We had bus routes in our ministry at my church back in Pennsylvania. You know yourself when you go to on a bus route. Can Johnny come today? I'm sorry, Johnny's with his dad today, this weekend. He's with his mom this weekend. Sin complicates life. We reap what we sow. Amen? The good, the bad, the ugly. We reap what we sow. We sow to the flesh, we're going to reap the flesh. We sow to the Spirit of God and yield to it. Bless God. That's where happiness is. That's where protection is. Potiphar believed his wife, and Joseph spent 2 years behind bars as an innocent man. Accusations were not true. Hey, young lady, listen to me this morning. Young lady, if you don't want people to think you're immoral, don't spend time with a guy with a bad reputation. Let me say it again. If you don't want people to think you're immoral, don't spend time with a guy with a bad reputation. Joseph lost his position. He lost his reputation. And he lost his freedom. He lost his freedom. When you resist sin instead of avoiding it, others will still think that you committed it. The devil is after leadership. When I was pastoring in Pennsylvania, there was a church across the river from me in Sunbury, Pennsylvania. And I knew the pastor. Matter of fact, when we were building our building, our church building, I would use his baptistry to baptize my converts, our converts. And one night, my wife and I, we sometimes would stop at Perkins. You've been to my church numerous times on Route 15 there, but right near my church. And one night, my wife and I was finished preaching, lock everything up, and we were going to get a little snack at Perkins. And this is about maybe 9:30 at night. So we walked in there, and I said, oh, man, there's the pastor of the church from Sunbury. And I walked over, and I said, hey, man, good to see you. I said, man, I've never been introduced to your wife. And he said, well, Pastor Froehlke, this isn't my wife. It's my secretary. Well, immediately, flags went up. Okay, am I right, Mrs. Froehlke? Flags went up. I said, we got back to our place where we were sitting. I said, what is he doing with his secretary at 9:30 at night at Perkins Restaurant? I wish I could tell you the story ended well, but the story does not end well. He ran off with her, and two homes were split up. Avoid what you cannot resist. Avoid what you cannot resist. I will never forget, I was at Temple Baptist Church in St. Paul, and I was a deacon at the church, and we hired Brother Don Ohm. He graduated from Hiles Anderson College, and he became the assistant pastor at Temple Baptist Church in St. Paul. And I'll never forget, I lived in West St. Paul, and it was raining out this particular day, and I was driving down Robert Street, and here was Debbie Ohm, the assistant pastor's wife, and it was raining. I rolled down my window. This is years and years ago. And I rolled down the window. I said, Debbie, man, get in the car. Oh no, Brother Froehlke, I'm sorry. I can't do that. I said, well, good night. It's raining outside. You know, I'll take you down to church. Oh, I'm sorry. I got a little offended, brother. I said, okay, fine, you know. But I got to church that night. It happened to be a Wednesday night. I got to church that night, and Brother Ohm called me into his office. He said, Brother Froehlke? And I said, what? He said, you know, and he explained everything to me. 1 Thessalonians 5 says, stay away from all appearances of evil. He said, my wife to get in your car and drive down and sit next to you in that car as a married woman, assistant pastor, it's not a good thing. And he took time to explain everything to me. And you want to know something? I was well with it. I felt, wow, I didn't know. I mean, good night. Conviction standards or whatever. But you know what? I am so happy that I listened to him. I am so happy that I listened to him. Because you know why? I'm still flesh. Hello? Are we all flesh? We got to beat our flesh down daily. If the Apostle Paul had it beat it daily, I think I got to beat it down daily. Because I'm no Apostle Paul. Don't let the devil lie to you to think that you're strong enough. You're not. You know, the story of Brother Hiles is in one of his books. I may have told this story before. But Jim Lyons was the pastor. He got a call from a lady in Hammond. She said, oh, I need to talk to you, Brother Hiles. I need to talk to you, preacher. I need to talk to you. So he got in. He said, Brother Lyons, I need to go on this call. Come on with me. He got to the call. True story. It's in one of his books. And so he got to this address. And he went up there and he knocked on the door. This door, the lady opened the door and she was in a thin negligee. And Brother Lyons was behind him. And all of a sudden, this lady leaped towards Brother Hiles. He just let her flop on her face. And guess what? As she was doing it, a man came out from around the bush with a camera ready to take a picture. You see, you got a target on your back. Young lady, you got a target on your back. Young man, you got a target on your back. Now listen. Oh, in East Chicago, in my Sunday school class, I had a lady that said to me, oh, Brother Froehlke, I left my Bible in class. You wouldn't possibly be able to bring it by. Well, it just so happened I was speaking at City Baptist in Chapel. And I said, you know what? It was in the back seat of my car. And I said, yeah, I'll drop it by. And her kids go to college. And so I did. I dropped it by, and she lived right off of Indianapolis Boulevard. I knocked on the door and I said, hey, oh, Brother Froehlke, thank you so much for bringing my Bible. I appreciate it. Won't you come in for a cup of coffee? I said, well, are your kids here? Well, no. I said, is your husband here? No. I said, I can't come in. Somebody say amen. Amen. You see, avoid what you cannot resist. Does it make sense? Just avoid. See, I want to help you out because you know why? I want you to finish. I want you to finish strong. I want you to finish pure. I want you to finish clean. I want you to finish. Don't the devil lie to you to think that you're strong enough. I'm not. I'm just a weak individual, but I need God's help. Volumes have been written about David's fall. Take your Bibles and go to 2 Samuel chapter 8 very quickly. 2 Samuel chapter number 8. These two statements, don't miss these two statements. Volumes have been written about David's fall. 2 Samuel chapter 12, and let's go over to and verse number, let's start. Well, you know the story. Nathan is the prophet. He goes to David. Look at me now. He goes to David. God sends Nathan the prophet to David. And by the way, 1 year lapses until he writes Psalm 51, the great confessional psalm of David in Psalm 51. This is 1 year prior to Psalm 51. So Nathan, the prophet, goes to David. God sends him to David. Look what he says here. In verse 6, and he shall restore the lamb fourfold, because this is David now. He did this thing, and because that he had no pity. And Nathan said to David, thou art the man. Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I have anointed thee king over Israel, and I deliver thee out of the hand of Saul. Look at verse 8. And I gave thee thy master's house and thy master's wives unto thy bosom, and have gave thee the house of Israel and Judah. And if it had been too little, I would have given you more, God says, given unto thee such things. Wherefore thou hast despised me. Let me, because of the sake of time, give me these two statements. Don't miss these statements. They're so true. Before David took what he shouldn't, he failed to appreciate what he had, what he did have, what he had. Let me say it again. Don't miss this. Before David took what he shouldn't, Bathsheba, he failed to appreciate what he did have. Isn't that true today? Let me give you the second statement. This isn't the second statement, but it goes along with the first one. Don't miss this. You know what the problem was? David was not content. David was not content. And that's what's happening to a lot of marriage today and young people. They're not happy. The male is not happy. He's not content. And one of the reasons that he's not content is because of social media and all the stinking pornography. Garbage in, garbage out. I think I knew somebody that said that. I think it was Dr. Evans. Let me give you the second statement. Don't miss this one. Satan knows that in order to get you to desire something, he first must get you unhappy and convince you of something you don't have. And that's where a lot of marriages and young people, not satisfied. Not satisfied. Always looking. Always looking. Always looking. Avoid what you cannot resist. Avoid it, young ladies. Avoid what you cannot resist. Brother Osgood, are you here today? Brother Osgood came to me. He knew what kind of I was preaching. So Brother Osgood, about a week ago, he does cleaning, extra income coming in. Praise God. And he was in this office. And he said, Brother Froakie, I got there probably around 9:30, 10 o'clock. I normally, clean the office. And he said, I got there, and he said there was a lady still working at her desk when I got there, and the only one in the office. And the lady said to Brother Osgood, she said, you can go ahead and clean. You're not going to bother me. Just go ahead and clean. And Brother Osgood said, no. I'll come back. I'll come back. Listen to me. You know what he was saying? He was saying, avoid what you cannot resist. So he waited until she left, and then he cleaned the office. You see, when you avoid something, you don't have to think about it. You don't have to worry about it. Hello? Are you listening to me today? Are they going to get it, Brother Mitchell? Avoid it. Avoid it. Keith Goldman has hit that message about wait. Listen to me. Brother Froelke, how can I get the victory? Start avoiding it. Stay from it. Stay far from it. When I avoid it, I don't have to think about it. A Christian cannot play tag with sin and win. You ain't going to do it. It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. Right, let me say it again. A Christian cannot play tag with sin and win. I even hate to bring this up. It breaks my heart, but I had a man come to my church and used to set me up with missions conferences. Showed me how. Good man. Married. Children. One year I went to pastor school. I went every year. I'd stay at the Ramada Inn down on off Calumet Avenue and whatever, and a bunch of other churches. I called this gentleman, and I said, "Hey, man, are you going to be in town for pastor school?" "Oh, yeah, I'm going to be there." I said, "Well, let's have lunch. Let's do something. Let's hang out." Now, we're close. And I said, "Yeah." So I waited at John L's. You know where John L's is out there on Calumet Avenue? Or Indianapolis, excuse me. And so I waited for him, and here he comes, walking through the door. I looked, and I said, "Wow." And I could talk to him like this. I said, "Man," I said, "where you been? What have you been doing?" I said, "You look like warmed over death. What's the matter?" "Well," he said, "you know, I'm trying to burn the candles at both ends, and blah blah blah, you know." And he was giving me all this. Well, I finally talked to somebody at pastor school that knew him, and I said, "What's going on with this certain individual?" He said, "Well, let me tell you something, Brother Froelke. He's missing his meetings. He's not going on the meetings." And I said, "Good night. What in the world happened?" And come to find out, he was on crack cocaine. When I was in Atlanta, Georgia, just a week or so ago, my daughter Brooke, I just thought about him, and I thought, "Where is he today? What is he doing right now?" And she's so good at stuff like that. And she Googled him, and she brought him up in a picture of him. No exaggeration, right, Mrs. Froelke? Brother Collins, this man looked at least 100 years old. No teeth, nothing. He looked like a bum off the street. What caused that? A good man, a good man, came to my church, mission conference. He forgot to avoid. All he did was resist. Lost another great friend whom I love dearly. I called him. I said, "What happened?" "Well, this lady in my church, I got a little close to her, and we did some projects together, and this is what he said. One thing led to another. One thing led to another. Avoid what you cannot resist." "Oh, Pastor, you don't understand. I was raised in a Christian home. My dad's a pastor." "Oh, really?" Avoid. A Christian cannot play tag with sin and win. Ladies, look at me, girls. I asked one of my girls, V, are you here? Where are you? Where? I was in my classroom, and I said, hey, I'm going to speak in chapel today, and I don't know, maybe some of you girls, and I know my wife and the girls would come in the bedroom, and they'd talk girl talk with mom, everything. A lot of times, these girls, your dad would give you a purity ring. Purity ring. You know what a purity ring is? Raise your hand if you know what a purity ring is. Come on, girls, you know what it is? And you know what dad's saying? We want you to live pure and clean till you go to the altar. Pure and clean. That ring. Dad says to his daughter, I want to give you that ring, honey. I love you so much. But Mom and I love you. I want you to stay pure and clean for the day that you get married. Some of you, now listen to me and I close. Some of you may have messed up. And the devil tells you it's too late for you. That's a lie from the devil. You listening to me? I mean, I love you. I've been out there. Some of you may have messed up. The devil tells you it's too late for you. You can all make a decision today to stay clean and pure until the day of your marriage. But listen to me. Jeremiah chapter 18, he said, and the vessel that he made of clay was marred. It was broken. It had a crack in it. But God didn't throw that vessel away. The Bible says that he took that vessel that was broken and marred and he put it back together again and made a good life out of it. Don't let the devil destroy you. So you may have messed up, but there's a God that loves you and can take your life and make it beautiful. And make it beautiful. My final statement is this. You can't go back and change the beginning, but you can start where you are and change the ending. You can't go back and change the beginning, but you can start where you are and change the ending. Guys, let's make a decision. Ladies, let's make a decision today. Shall we stand? As the instrument plays, if you want to do business at an old-fashioned altar, this is for everybody, faculty, staff, no one's exempt. Make a decision.